Now, predicting how the Earth's climate is likely to change is one of the toughest challenges facing science, one that, as we know, is not without its controversies. To build accurate simulations of the climate, scientists need raw data, and Planet Earth podcast presenter Richard Hollingham has been to Scotland to meet researchers sniffing the air.
I've come to a Scottish hillside about 10 miles north of Dundee, and I'm standing underneath a very tall tower. It's actually called the Angus Tall Tower. It's because it's in Angus. And it's a tall tower. It's a TV tower covered in transmitters. And we're surrounded by fields of sheep. And behind me, Heather Moreland. And John Moncrief from the University of Edinburgh is with me. Now, you're not interested in the TV transmitter. You're interested in the instrument right at the top of this tower, sniffing the air.
That's right, Richard. It's not so much an instrument, it's more just a tube. We actually have a long tube which goes from the very top of the tower, which is about 220 metres up. And we sample air down this tube into some analysers which we have in a cabin just in front of us.
And what are you trying to measure here?
I'm really trying to measure very accurately the greenhouse gas concentrations of the air as the air moves past the tower. So I'm interested in the concentration of the three big greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane and nitrous oxide.
OK, so you've got this tube, almost like a hose pipe, I suppose, coming down the tower, through this cabling duct, and then behind us through this door.
That's correct, yes. Let's go inside and see the instruments.
So you've got a stack of shelves with a computer on one, a mass of tiny little tubes on the other, and occasionally it's emitting a bit of a belching sound. And you're measuring greenhouse gases now.
We're trying to build up a picture of how the greenhouse gases change over time in this particular location. And the reason we're on a tall tower, we take our samples from a tall tower, is that the samples that we observe at the tall tower actually reflect what's going on for many hundreds of kilometres upwind. In this particular day, we have a strong westerly wind. So the sample that we're measuring right now will have come probably from Ireland several hours ago.
Well, let's have a look outside, because you're on this hilltop. You can see the Tay Bridge and Dundee. Over behind us, well, there's a transformer buzzing away. This heather, we look west, I mean, you can't see much beyond this hill, but the wind is coming that way, and I suppose it's coming, what, the Northern Ireland, the Irish Sea, Western Isles, Glasgow, and then a vast tract of countryside, and it's hitting here, and that's what you're measuring.
Well, that's right. We're probably sensing air that's come from Ireland, possibly from the Atlantic. Indeed, there are some days you can actually measure the carbon monoxide that's come off forest fires in Canada. It can come that far, and our instruments are that sensitive that we can actually sniff the air coming from a different continent altogether.
And what are you finding? I mean, you're presumably seeing a natural process. You're also seeing our contribution, the human contribution to greenhouse gases.
Well, we are. In particular, we were looking at methane and carbon monoxide to look at the anthropogenic influence. Carbon dioxide is a very interesting gas, of course, because it reflects really what the natural vegetation is doing. So we see a trend in CO2 over the 5 years that we've been here, but we also see cycles in that trend as well. And that reflects what the biosphere is doing, what the oceans are doing, what the land surface is doing. But also sometimes if you're looking at carbon monoxide or methane, you see spikes or sudden increases. And they may well be because the air which is coming past our tower has actually gone past perhaps Dundee or Glasgow or somewhere else.
Can you give me an example then of something you've seen that you can say, well, that's a result of a particular activity?
Particularly on a calm, clear night. Perhaps you'd have a southerly wind at this site, and what we'd actually do is we would sniff Dundee. And we'd see that as a relatively high peak in our data. And then as the day went on, as more mixing came along, that would go away and we'd start to see the natural influence.
And that is the point, really, isn't it? You're measuring, OK, what's happening now, but you're looking at the trends and seeing what is happening to the atmosphere over time.
I suppose what drives this science, really, is where are the carbon sources and sinks? We really don't know where carbon goes once it leaves your tailpipe or your chimney. We know about half of it stays in the atmosphere and about half of it goes in the oceans and the land. So it's a bit like a detective story. We can actually interrogate our data and figure out what the land surface or what the ocean is doing.
That was John Moncrief from the University of Edinburgh talking to Richard Hollingham. And if you enjoyed that, there are more of Richard's podcasts as well as links to other Planet Earth resources at thenakedscientist.com/planet-earth.
Dave, thanks. Actually, we'll be returning to the theme of greenhouse gases later on in the programme for our question of the week, because Diana is going to be asking, what's worse, a volcano or a fleet of aeroplanes? That's coming up, and the answer will probably surprise you, actually.